Lorian. It's funny, Eastwood here.
Eastwood, everybody. I've got Mr. Vinny Eastwood on the line. He's my guest today, one of my two guests today. I'm so lucky to have him. Vinny, thank you so much for doing this for me.
And yeah, well, like most radio show hosts, I like to prostitute myself on other people's networks, especially if they're as fabulous as Freedom's Lips.
You bet. Well, I'm going to read a little bit about Vinny here for everybody who doesn't know who he is. Vinny Eastwood was born in the ominous year of 1984, the same year set out in Orwell's masterpiece in the year of New Zealand's neoliberal economic reforms. After working in the telecommunications industry, he quit when he noticed that when he lied to the customer, the company's profit margin went up. Unable to work or have an employer in the conventional sense, Vincent went out with frustration at the mainstream media and began to make his own news by interviewing activists about real issues that truly affect New Zealand and the world. So I'm just going to leave it at that because Vinny's going to tell us all about himself here today. And, you know, Vinny, I wanted to ask you something. You have this amazing, like a little manifesto up on your website. Let me find it. I loved it. It was the Mr. News Principles. So is this your private manifesto to the world about your news? Can you tell me about this?
Well, you know, to be honest, I don't have a manifesto really for anything.
Okay. I was teasing you.
Well, I mean, it's a good point though, because I came up with those little things on my bio because I saw lots of radio show hosts start off really good people, and somehow the process of being a radio show host, being in the public eye, having to ask for donations, having to sell advertising, all of these other things that are involved in business kind of got away from the truth a little bit.
Sure.
Whereas I wanted to do all of that, but not get corrupted by it. And that was all those principles that I outlaid with there in the Mr. News Principles. I think it's on my under
right,
Vinny
right.
bio. Are things that actually I came up with really before actually becoming a radio show host, so I'm not sure how relevant they still are. But let's read through them. Actually,
yeah, if I was going to say, let's do that. Go for it.
So number one of the Mr. News principles. Hello, I'm Vinny. I'm Mr. News. Like MR News stands for Media Revolution News. These are my principles. If the media won't do their job, don't fight them. Replace them because they are no longer relevant. It is the media's job to keep an eye on the powerful, to expose the corrupt, to let the population know what's really going on. Without such responsibility, there is nothing to stop the world coming to catastrophe at the hands of the few that control so much. It's not about me. It's about the idea. If it was just about me, a man can be stopped. But nothing can stop an idea whose time has come. A man can be shot. But ideas are bulletproof. And when it comes to money, there is no profit motive. The donation money that I receive goes to me so that I can eat and continue to do my work, some equipment, pay for the websites, and a little bit of promotion here or there. In order to prevent becoming the very scum I fight against, I must remove the ability to have power over others, which is why we do most things voluntarily. For if money is power and power corrupts, then it's imperative to refuse the personal accumulation of both. Now, I'm not 100% sure if I agree with that anymore. But let's read on.
Yes, we'll talk about it when you're done. Go ahead.
It is on the points that we agree that we should come together and collaborate. On the points we disagree, there is no point discussing them. They are insignificant compared to our similarities. This is the most important. For fighting, or infighting rather, will only serve our enemy. I don't want to be doing this. I wish I could come home every day, sit back, relax, safe in the knowledge that everything is okay. I only do this, like it or not, because I'm the only one in this country who will. In New Zealand, you know, point a stick. Anybody who's doing anything that They don't. They just don't exist. They just don't exist.
Right.
Not to the scale and the level and the multimedia format that I'm doing. And lastly is a sort of like a swear, you know, hey, you swear, you take an oath. I swear eternal vigilance against tyranny in all its forms, to replace it with justice, love and understanding, knowledge and strength of purpose. Terms and conditions apply.
I love the terms and conditions apply. Oh, God. Well, I was reading this earlier, and I got to tell you, it really struck a chord with me, because I think that most of us who start out in this business, you know, this really is the crux of why we do it. But as you know, things change rapidly when you get involved with something like this. Especially, okay, the first line, the media won't do their job, don't fight them, replace them. Well, you know, the media up here in America, what a mess. I mean, I'm telling you, we try to replace them, but they're so controlled, so powerful, they have so much money behind them, it's near to impossible to replace them. So what are your feelings about that? Have you thought about that? Or, you know, because I don't think in New Zealand they have, since you just said earlier that they don't have anybody there talking out, you know, up here we have more than enough people talking out, and they're talking about all the wrong things. So what's your opinion on that?
Well, in relation to, say, comparing the mainstream media climate in New Zealand versus America, or the alternative media climate?
Let's go to the mainstream media, because I'm very curious about what's going on down there as compared to what's up here. It's impossible to fight them up here. I just got to tell you that, Vinny. It's like killing a buffalo when you're an ant.
Well, you know, you get enough ants, you can bring down a buffalo for sure. And you'll eat every last piece of them. Never underestimate the power of a small, determined minority. After all, there's currently one of them controlling the whole planet as we speak, isn't it?
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. And that's another thing we could talk about right now, is the Bilderbergs, the Illuminati, the people that do control us. I don't know if you've ever heard my show, but I always tell my, not always, but periodically I do a little political rant. And my thing is that the Americans are apathetic, that nothing's going to change because we all sit around and we're mind controlled by the television and everything that goes on around us. Very few people listen to the alternative media in America compared to the population that's out there, and that we should all be building guillotines in our garage to take down to the local government offices and Washington, D.C., because there's only, you know, thousands of them, and there's millions of us. And the next French Revolution should be happening in America now. That is my stance.
It will be the American French Fry Revolution.
I agree with you on that one. Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah. But, however, I speak to a lot of old people who've – and I don't mean old people in a derogatory fashion. I'm talking about learned, experienced people, you know, the elders that traditionally throughout time would sit around campfires and mentor all the young people. These kind of people are my friends. And every single one of them gets discouraged from time to time because they've been fighting the same fight for decades and decades and decades, and they don't seem to be getting anywhere, right?
Right.
However, as soon as they start looking around themselves, not within their direct circle, but outside to people they've never met and what have you, they find out that their work that they've been doing over these decades has actually sped up and multiplied more than they could ever possibly imagine. They just didn't see it because they were trying to convince everybody that was right in front of them instead of listening to the people they couldn't see. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I completely understand what you're saying, because I've noticed quite a big change in America as far as listening to alternative radio, actually getting out and doing something about what is happening in our country. Now, there's still too many people brainwashed into voting here. If everybody would not vote and send a message to the government officials that we don't want any of them and none of us are going to vote anymore until they give us who we want.
I disagree.
Oh, you disagree?
On that.
On not
voting on principle, that just not doing anything accomplishes nothing. okay, already 80% of Americans don't vote. Probably growing even further day by day. Congress has a 1% approval rating. What have all the people who've done nothing achieved?
Well, that's true, but...
Here's the point. Instead of spending 5 hours, some people have, 5 hours standing in a giant line that goes all the way around the neighborhood to go to vote for a scumbag who's going to rip you off, why don't you spend that 5 hours calling into local talk radio? Why don't you spend that 5 hours waving a sign that says 9/11 was an inside job, or arrest the banksters, or this election is a farce or something? Just not voting accomplishes nothing.
Well, exactly.
People spend the majority of their lifestyle not voting, not participating, withdrawing from things. It's the reason why we're in such a problem and predicament in the first place, is because people have abdicated their entirety of responsibility for all the people around you, your communities, and your country.
Exactly. And that goes back to my apathy point. And when I say don't vote, you're absolutely right. I said that incorrectly. What I meant to say is that people shouldn't vote, but it should be all of us. We should be organized, and we should have a reason not to vote. And it should be very obvious to the people out there that we're not voting in office that this is why we're not doing it.
Wait a second. You know what I would love to see? 500 people standing in line for 4.5 hours, going to the voting booth, holding a sign saying, "I'm not voting because."
And I like that.
All right. You could imagine that the vast majority of the people standing in that line would be people with signs saying that voters are fraud. Could you imagine what would happen with those images being spread through the internet, mate? That would be a terribly exciting and powerful thing. Apathy, on the other hand, prevents people from going out and doing something like that. They're too cautious. They think about things for too long until the opportunity that had presented itself that you could have snatched simply disappears, and you snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
You're absolutely right. See, we need more doers in this country than people just sitting on their couch. But now this leads us all into the next point I was making about the mind control. I firmly believe that these horrible MyLabs people, the government officials, the military, whoever they are behind all this, is doing a whole mind control thing on most of the population through television, through cell phones, through all these devices we have that keep us preoccupied from actually making a change in the world. So anyhow, I don't know how you feel about that, Vinny, but that's why we're here today. You and I... duking it out, trying to figure out what's going on wrong in this world. So,
well, I think we already know what's going on wrong in the world. You know, we could agree on things menacingly. But here's the point. What did you do today? All right, what did you do yesterday? Yesterday, you know, I was sitting on my ass doing absolutely nothing, recharging for a day because I spent the previous 6 days exposing scumbaggery.
Yeah, see, there you go. And you deserve that day off, just like God. You got your seventh day to rest.
Yeah, speaking of God, I had a joke on the show today. I had a theologian. You know how they refer to Jesus as the Alpha and Omega?
Yes.
Well, this is the Alpha and Omega phone.
I love that thing. I want a mic. I love those things. I think they're so awesome. Yeah. Well, so
what's interesting,
Vinny, when's the last time?
If you say something through a megaphone, it's instantly funnier.
It is, actually. You kind of sound like you're
Let
on
me demonstrate.
Helium.
If you say something through a megaphone, it's instantly funnier.
You see,
now I agree with you on that. You sound like you're on helium, you know? It's great.
I've got this giant one. I've got this giant megaphone. For those of you who are listening on the airwaves, you can't see this, but I was just holding up a little 15-watt megaphone. It's you know, just one of those little handheld ones that you see a lot of the protesters with. But now I'm going to show you a 100-watt megaphone. There are only six of these in the country. The military has two. The police have one. I have one, and my other two protesting buddies bought the other two.
Oh, my God. So you know exactly where all six of them are in New Zealand, right?
No, because three of them are owned by the cops and the military, and three of them are controlled by us, the protesters. And these megaphones got made illegal right after the protesters bought them, because these things are very, very loud, okay? The little one is a 15-watt. This is a 100-watt megaphone. We have tripods for them, a wireless microphone, and what I've found is when I go to a protest with this and my cameras, I'm actually more well-equipped in general in terms of my ability to broadcast sound and capture the action than both the media who are there and the protest leaders. Okay,
oh,
I've got better equipment than either of them do, and every single bit of this equipment, and down to the shirt that I'm wearing, has been donated.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Vinny, you know what? I hate to cut us out at this moment, but we got a break coming up here any second now. So I just wanted to let the audience know that can't see this thing. It's huge. You know, it's half of his body size. And
I'm a 6 foot four. I'm a 6 foot four guy who's like nearly 100 or nearly 200 pounds.
Wow. That thing is monstrous.
Yeah.
I need one of those.
Used it on the courtrooms. We used it on the courtrooms one time. They could hear everything that we were saying 30 floors up.
I love it. I love it. That's great. Well, that break's going to happen any second, I can almost guarantee you, so we probably shouldn't go into anything else. But there it is. Okay, Vinny, hold on. We'll have you back in just a couple minutes.
Listening to Revolution Radio. We'll be right back after this short break, so stay tuned.
Message to our listeners. Revolution Radio is you. Thanks to your continuous support and participation, Revolution Radio will embark on its third year on air, bigger and better than ever. You, the listeners, have made Revolution Radio what it is. The number one commercial-free talk radio station on the web with nearly 24 hours of live programming, delivering directly to you the most cutting-edge information available. You, the listeners, have become some of our most popular radio hosts. You, the listeners, offer feedback that molds our programming to appeal to a worldwide audience. You, the listener, provide eyes on the ground, reporting about newsworthy events in your area, and you, the listener, are the lifeblood of this station. We love you, and thank you for being a treasured member of our Revolution Radio family. From all of us to all of you, have a happy and safe holiday season, and let's make this new year a success once again together. Thank you. Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Always vigilant, always here. Thank you. Have a safe and happy holiday.
This is Bo. And this is Rocco.
And the Bo and Rocco Show is here to offer insight into legal and lawful remedies. Our goal is to remain free and help others remain free in an ever-increasing police-like state. With the help of our guests, we try to answer questions such as what went wrong and what can we do about it.
So tune in to Revolution Radio at www.freedomslips.com Wednesday nights, 10 to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to listen to the Bo and Rocco Show.
You don't need to expect us.
We're already here.
Revolution Radio.
All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to the Fenton Perspective here on Revolution Radio. I'm your host, Lorian Fenton, and I want to just take a moment to thank everybody for what they did for the fundraiser about a week and a half ago, and to also say that, you know, continually we do need your support. So even just a small amount every month, like $5 a month, would be wonderful. If a lot of you out there would do that, we'd be able to pay for everything. It'd be great. So we really need the help. So whatever you can do, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. And have a happy holiday season this year, too. Thank you. I wanted to say that because I won't be on the air next Monday, Christmas Eve. I want to let everybody know that. But Santa Claus will be here for the kids. So everybody take advantage of that as well because, you know, not always do you get Santa Claus on your show. So speaking of Santa Claus, I've got the New Zealander, the Santa Claus of New Zealand, Mr. Vinny Eastwood, on my show right now. Vinny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I always thought that Santa Claus, you know how people thought that it was the stork that delivered people's babies? I thought it was Santa that actually went round impregnating all the women because he had such a massive sack.
Oh, okay. Bing. You know, I don't know what to say.
Well, just wait until you unwrap your presents and then you
There you go.
I think it was like the Darth Vader Star Wars Christmas.
Luke, yeah. I know what you're getting for Christmas. I have felt your presence.
Oh, God. Okay, Vinny, let's move on. Back to your Mr. News principles. You know, there was the one about the money, and I thought this was interesting. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your life and your history and how you came to this part about the whole money situation for you?
Oh, yeah, this is an interesting one. My last paycheck and my final slave job was about $4,000 New Zealand dollars cash after tax. And I also got a bonus of $11,900 worth of shopping mall vouchers. It was on that day, receiving that paycheck, that I quit that job, and I've never since been able to be employed.
Wow. I bought myself a little handy cam.
Well, my boss was a bit of a psycho. Okay, like, let's say it's 10 o'clock. On a Friday night, you're at your friend's place, you're having a beer, and your boss rings you, and he tells you that you have to get up off the couch, find a pen and some paper to write down the number of a client to call on Monday. See? No personal space. Total invasion. You know, it was just like it was corrupting my entire life. I was getting really depressed. I had to travel around long distances. I had to pay for my own gas and cell phone usage and all of this other kind of stuff. But it was like I hated what I was doing. I hated seeing all the stuff that was going around me because during all this time of being messed around by employer after employer, like I was number one salesman for 6 months at a particular place.
Awesome.
And so money for me was for the first time when I started realizing that I have the gift of the gab and I can prostitute myself into making money, I realized that actually what I was really doing is just making a heck of a lot more money for the people who owned the company that I was working for.
Exactly.
And there was just this barrier between me and the customers, and it was just like – I wasn't appreciated for the ethical way that I was trying to approach sales, and right. I made suggestions and I tried to get promoted and all of that kind of stuff, and no such promotions really came to me. They just gave me a different sales job with the title business account manager, for which I never actually managed a single business account. It was just another sales job. I was sick of it.
Right.
Didn't want to hit the phones anymore. Didn't want to do door-to-door knocking, because as far as I saw it, there was a huge problem going on in the whole world called the New World Order, and it was destroying everything that I had ever thought as a child that I would grow up to be. You know, I wanted to be a movie maker and things like that, and I didn't see myself ever becoming what I wanted to be if I was working for somebody else. And last time I went to a job interview, I had a near-on panic attack, because I am employophobic. I have a fear of being employed again, because it means that I won't be able to do what I want to do. It means I'll have to follow somebody else's directions. It means that my livelihood is dependent on somebody else who doesn't care about me. And I couldn't live like that.
Yeah.
And so for about 4 years, I was heading down to protests in New Zealand, public meetings, things which the media very rarely ever attended. And if they did attend them, they'd cover 30 seconds of it, tops, with maybe a 5-second soundbite in there or something, demonize the protesters. So I'd show up, film it, edit it, upload it at protests of all different types of persuasions. And I began to have a YouTube channel that was more popular than the mainstream media YouTube channel still do today. The New Zealand Herald is the New York Times of New Zealand. I have significantly more subscribers on my YouTube channel than they have on theirs. I have, and they're the largest in this country.
Right.
If you combine all the mainstream media outlets together, they're maybe about twice the size of me by myself. I am the mainstream.
Oh, my God. Vinny, that's wonderful.
Well, it's just because I keep getting out there and I keep covering everybody's issues. So naturally, there becomes really only one place where you can get everything. And it ain't the mainstream media. They'll tell you stuff about
sports. Well, you know, what you're doing is you're giving them the truth instead of a bunch of, you know, sales pitches for buying things on their commercials all day long. So basically, you are the media in New Zealand.
All right. You know? Now, where's the money coming from, though? Okay, because for 4 years, I had so little money, I wasn't even so much as able to buy myself a cup of coffee at a cafe for $3.50. Okay, I was that broke for four years. My girlfriend was supporting me. I had protesters and listeners and watchers of my videos giving me donations. I produced 11 different DVDs, which I was selling to people at protests and public meetings to make a little money. You know, I was the entrepreneur's entrepreneur. I was just making it work and making the money where I could. And I haven't been corrupted by it as yet, I don't think. But I'm always really watchful, because I don't want to turn into that guy who was in it for the truth and then realizes he needs money all the time and then spends most of his time trying to make the money instead of trying to get the truth out. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right, exactly. Yeah.
You
know,
priority.
That's the biggest problem. You know, the bigger you get, the more people who know who you are and the more people that, you know, follow you, there is that temptation. Believe me, I don't know about it because I'm not nearly as big as you are, Vinny, but I can imagine. It must be scary. How do you handle
it? What's really encouraging is every time when I've ever needed something, my listeners have given it to me. I feel that the best things in my life have always been the things that have been given to me. I mean, right now we're doing the show on a quad-core 27-inch iMac with a Yeti 4-channel stereo microphone with 2 megaphones next to me and cameras and stuff all around me. All of which has been given to me by my listeners. I had one guy turn up with $500 cash one time, just turned up at my house, and he said, "Vinny, here you go. Keep up the good work, mate." I was like, holy cow. what I do really means something to people. And I said, Matt, $500 is a huge donation. He says, no, don't worry about it, Vinny. That's what I would have paid in tax.
Oh, that's funny.
The vast majority of the people who listen to me are actually in between the 40 and 60 age group. Isn't that interesting?
Right, right. You know, that is one of the reasons not one of the reasons, but I listen to you quite frequently. And, you know, I'm 55, so, you know, I fall right in that category. And you inspire me, Vinny. You really do. You're a young guy out there telling the truth. You've got a whole nation behind you now. And, you know, I'm pretty sure the Aussies are listening to you a lot these days. And, you know, and up here in America, you're quite popular with the alternative media crowd. So, you know, kudos to you and thank you.
Well, I've been endowed with certain advantages. Namely, I'm from New Zealand. You name me anybody who despises New Zealanders.
Nobody.
apart from the fruit cart guy on Flight of the Conchords. But he was just mistaking New Zealanders for Australians in that episode. So everybody loves New Zealanders, really.
Yeah.
You know, you say, I'm from New Zealand, and what comes to mind? Oh, wonderful, beautiful mountains, picturesque, clean, green, da-da-da-da. All right, sweet as. And I've got that very, very nice accent, don't I? Very sexy, very nice. And that's another thing. I've got a much higher percentage of female listeners that listen to me than the majority of hosts. I mean, women don't get attracted to talk radio for the same reasons that men do. Men get involved for the action, the aggression, the information, whereas women get involved for the feelings for a lot of the case and the information and what right. they can kind of do, the action, you know, that sort of thing. So when I'm doing my show, I'm occasionally, yes, I do rage out, you know, almost pop a blood vessel in the screaming at the television during a live U.S. presidential debate of some description. But the vast majority of the time, I'm just there to have fun, have a few laughs, because just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't have a good time.
Exactly. You know, the people who take this whole thing seriously, I mean, I take it very seriously, but if they take it so seriously, what happens is it kind of ruins your life. I mean, you know, you can't be doom and gloom all the time. You got to have fun. And, you know, that's how I see it. I tell people all the time we should have a French Revolution again here in America. But, you know, at the same time, I'm laughing and cooking my pasta and having a good old Italian lifestyle here, you know, and it's not extravagant. Let me tell you, folks, you know, just like Vinny, I've cut way back. I used to be in the corporate world. Then I got into the nonprofit world. And now I'm into my world, which is I don't make much money. I don't do a whole lot to, you know, of extravagant things. I very seldom get to go to a movie like The Hobbit made down in New Zealand.
Incidentally, one of my listeners donated me 2 movie tickets so I could take my missus to see The Hobbit.
Oh, wonderful. I love that. That's great. Did they have a big fanfare for it down there because it was filmed down there?
There were 2 or we've got like maybe 4 channels on public broadcast TV here in New Zealand. You know, not that many. And I think maybe 2 out of the 4 were covering just the red carpet event for 6 hours or something.
Oh,
so
awesome.
6 hours of these douchebags and their little hobbit or elven ears or some description of BS standing there on the red carpet interviewing each one of these stars and directors and writers and producers and da-da-da-da-da that kept rocking on by. And I was thinking, mate, I produced 4.5 hours of hardcore political content that is inspiring and informative and revolutionary by its very nature, and the same time that they managed to placate people over the release of a film.
Well, yes, but I got to tell you something. My name comes from that book. I was 16, and my name, I changed my name to Lorien from Lori Ann, and it was from The Hobbit because we just read it that year in my high school. And long story short, that book means a lot to me. So I was very happy that they, you know, that they have a big fanfare for it there. And yes, you should have been there, but you know what? You should have been there carrying the Eye of Sauron in your hand and telling them about the evil tower and how they're taking over the world. You should have been doing the political aspect of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. That would have been a trip.
Hey, it would have been, but I don't. And this is another thing why I need more donations and more to the point, regular subscriptions, because now I'm doing the ad-free audio archives of the Vinnie Eastwood Show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. You subscribe for $5 a month or whatever, I'll send you the link. And if you can't afford that, just ask me for the link and I'll send it to you anyway. But with those, I'm also tagging on the very next day when the YouTube video with my webcam right. and the picture of the guest and everything right next to the audio archive. So it becomes really an awesome online library and a number of different formats that people can go to and use. And it's all Creative Commons as well on the YouTube. So you can download them. If I've got a really awesome guest or something that says something great, and you want to salvage a clip out of that video that I did in use of your own documentaries or your own YouTube videos, go for your life. You don't even need to contact me or even ask permission. Go for your life. You know?
Oh, cool. I love that.
Now, the reason why I'd really love to kind of have a bit more disposable income is not so I can go out partying and stuff like that, although I haven't really been doing a whole lot of partying lately, is actually so that I can travel New Zealand. It's actually relatively inexpensive because when you're a radio show host like I am with the iniquity like I have, a New Zealander on an American talk radio network who's doing it 5 days a week, brings all the top New Zealand activists on, the international activists, it means that I have a lot of listeners and contacts in different areas of the country that I could stay with if there was, say, a story in their town. I could just quickly fly down.
Oh, it's only sure. Like eight, yeah.
Only like 80 bucks. Only like 80 New Zealand dollars to fly down somewhere and maybe 100 bucks to fly back. So it's 180 bucks for me to go on location, and I can just, you know, stay with somebody. They can feed me or whatever. Heaps of people have just given me food over the years, you know. I just basically I live off the people like a leech, so that I can suck the blood out of the scumbaggery New World Order element. And I would have loved to have gone down there to Wellington to cover that Hobbit event with a whole bunch of different people. And it's just progression. So when sure. I started, I had a small little camera about the size of a fist, made about maybe 300-400 videos, and that before that camera conked out. And then somebody donated me an even bigger camera, and I made another maybe 400-500 videos with that before I accidentally dropped it one night when I was filming a dance party, and it died, and I've never been able to get it fixed because it's far too expensive. And then somebody else has donated me another camera, which has made about maybe, another couple of hundred videos with before that started to conk out. And now I've been given another camera, which is a GoPro 3, you know, those things that they use in the snowboarding and the Red Bull wingsuits. And I put it on a shoulder mount so that the camera is out here in front of me looking back at me so that when I'm recording and walking around, it catches my audio and everything. And it looks so cool, man. It was like adventure protesting.
I love it. Like Bear Grylls, but yeah. More like the political Bear Grylls. I love it. That's great. Yeah.
Like a cool. Man versus New World Order.
Yes, I love it. That's wonderful.
Or Man versus Denial.
Oh, God. I'm going to start coughing here. I've had a little bit of a cold. Every time I start laughing, I start going into coughing fits. So, anyhow,
good for you. Helps relieve disease. It releases endorphins, makes you happier, less stressed. And the less stressed you are, the stronger your immune system is.
Exactly.
I don't get sick very often because I'm cackling pretty much all the time.
Me too. You must be part Italian or something. What are you, by the way? You're New Zealander, Scottish, Irish, French, or what?
I think there might be a bit of Scottish. I think there might be a little bit of English, and I think there might be a little bit of Irish. But, you know, I don't have a terribly large knowledge of my roots. I mean, I think my great grandfather was the person who carved a lot of the faces onto the soldiers that are on the giant Auckland, New Zealand War Memorial Museum, all the faces that they've got, you know, kind of like etched into the wall all the way around this giant museum complex, I think were made by him.
Wow, so he was an artisan, is what you're saying. Or was he more of a builder and did that as a kind of sideline? Or
See, I don't know. My father was a businessman. He started up an electrician's business. He was the first person to start using CB radios for commercial operations in vans. He noticed a gap in the market for forklift tires. You know, when you got forklifts in the freezing works and things like that, just lifting and turning around everything, they've got special kind of tires. And he noticed that there wasn't really much of a market for it here. So he decided to create one. And at one point, he had a 97% market share in the Southern Hemisphere for forklift tires. He was a singer and a microphone MC. You know those people at auctions, and they go, he could do that.
I love that.
My mother, she's a singer too, and a poet and a nurse, and she's also kind of a bit, what would you say, a little bit clairvoyant kind of thing, sort of borderlining, you know. So she's well in touch with that side of the things. So I've got somebody who's very nurturing and creative alongside somebody who's a salesman and a showman and an inventor. Like, those are my parents. And we didn't have a very good life. Like, Dad lived from about 10 or something like that, and it wasn't a very good situation for any of us. And I kind of had to accumulate a vast array of positive male role models in order to kind of let go of that, because I was really violent. I was really depressed, very, very angry with the world kind of thing. And I just needed a positive male role model was really all I needed in my life. And as soon as I got one or two or three, all of those negative associations that I had and the reason why I was suspended 17 times from high school, they went away.
That was only 17 times.
Mm. That was just from one high school.
That's just one high school. Oh, my God, Vinny. Well, you know what? You've turned out to be an amazing young man, and I got to thank you for that, because you've brought a voice to the radio waves, the alternative radio waves, that is very powerful, very strong, and your conviction is there, and I love you for that. I've been listening to you, like I said, for a while. So
yeah, and I do have two convictions from the New Zealand police as well.
Great. Wonderful. I'm not even going to ask about that.
Yeah.
At some point, we'll get that out to the world and let them know what kind of crazies you were in the old days. But we have just a couple minutes left. Do you want to tell people how they can find you and listen to your show and catch on to the YouTube and all that stuff?
Yeah. If you want to go to my website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, that's Vinny with two N's and a Y. The Y is the most important, because it's the most important question. EastwoodShow.com. That's Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. The VinnyEastwoodShow.com. And 5 days a week from 5 till 7 Central, basically the 2 hours before Lorien's show, but Monday through Friday. If you're in New Zealand, that's Tuesday through Saturday, midday till 2 p.m., because we kind of broadcast live from the future. It's already tomorrow here whenever I talk to my American brethren and give them the up-to-date news.
Mm-hmm. So time travel is possible.
Yep. It's a daily reality. In fact, incidentally, funny you should mention time travel, I have Andrew Brashago talking about time travel on my show this week, I think. In the next couple of days. So watch out for that. And Zen Gardner as well. I just get so many really cool people, basically, from all over the world. And when they come on the show, the interviews that I do with people, you know, I'm not blowing my own trumpet here. This is the thing. They are some of the best interviews that you will find in any radio format in the world today. The reason why that is because of the one rule that's imposed on us by the studio. Have fun.
That's
so
right.
Bring these people who've had death threats on them I bring these people who've been exposing scumbaggery for 20 years and have their cars broken into and all of that kind of stuff, and they're sitting there, and I guarantee I'll get them laughing. That's great. What makes the show
hey,
so
Vinny,
different.
Hey, Vinny, we've hit the end of the hour. Thank you so much, sweetheart. I'll talk to you soon. Have a great one.
Thank you, Lauren.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio. We'll be right back after this short break, so stay tuned.